What is the Bible? Who's the Bible written to anyway? How much do we know about the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? When was the Bible written? Which translation of the Bible is the right one? How do we know the Bible is God's word to us today? How much of the Bible can we trust and use in our daily life? What are the Bible truths we are to live by today? If the Bible's true, why doesn't everybody believe and live it? What about the Bible?
Welcome to Scripture School. I hope you have your school supplies with you. If not, I hope you go get them right now so we can start the fun. If you don't have a DVD in right now that you're listening to for Scripture School, then go put in a video cassette tape because you're going to want to see this again and again. Now go get your Scripture School binder and your favorite writing instrument because we're going to make notes and we're going to have time to do some self-evaluation exercises. So, next thing you need to do is check your perception. Because, as we know, perception influences everything. That's true about the Bible as well. My name is Christine Carpenter, and I have been studying the Scriptures for decades. I've studied them in the university, I've studied them at Bible school, I've studied at the seminary, I've studied at church, I've studied in Bible study groups, and I've studied on my own. Perhaps you have the same experience, or none at all. Well, we're going to start at the beginning and refresh all of us back to basics. In this session one, we're going to learn the basic things about the Bible. So thanks for joining us, and let's get started. I believe that when we finish our session today, we're both going to find more and better ways of fulfillment in our lives because of what we find in the Scriptures. All of our life is affected by the Scripture. Our social life, our family life, our work life, our spiritual life, and every other facet of our life. In every relationship, we have our own ideas of how to behave and how we expect the other person to behave. These expectations are often perceptions that we have of ourselves and perceptions that we have of others, based on many things, including our past experiences in similar situations and our own human nature and our own senses. Our own human physical senses give us input that oftentimes is different than our culture gives us. But these create our perceptions. Even the media, print and visual media, influence our perceptions. Expectations and disappointments influence our perceptions of any given situation. So whether we're in pain emotionally or physically, whether we're in good health, whether we're happy and joyful, or sorrowful or depressed, all of those will influence our perception of what happens to us in any given situation, any given relationship. Relationship with others, relationship with the Scriptures. So, when we come to any situation, we bring these perception effectors to bear upon what we'll hear, what we'll see, what we'll feel, what we'll taste, what we'll touch. And we do that when we approach the Scriptures as well. What are your perceptions of the Scriptures in the Holy Bible? What kind of book do you think the Bible is? Perhaps some of these questions will help you define what kind of book you think the Bible is and what perceptions you bring to the Bible. All of the multiple choice answers for the six questions we'll be asking are all answers people have given. There's also a fourth multiple choice that you can fill in your own blank if none of the answers suit you. Let's begin. Question number one. I believe the Bible is A, the exact word of God to me, directly written word by word by God through human instruments. B, I believe the Bible is a good book inspired by God, but sometimes written from a limited human standpoint, not pertaining to me. C, I believe the Bible is a book only appreciated and understood by reading it in the historical and cultural contexts of the author and the audience. Or D, fill in your own definition of what the Bible is to you. Question number two. I go to the Bible for a definitive, conclusive, authoritative direction and clear statement on how I am to live as a Christian, especially in areas of personal morality. B, I go to the Bible for a story about God's involvement in human history that helps me find God in the affairs of mankind in the world today. C, I go to the Bible for personal inspiration and hope to help me cope with the world in which I live. Or D, fill in your own answer. Why do you go to the Bible? Question number three. I believe biblical scholars are A, unnecessary and sometimes even harmful when they compromise the truth in Scripture. B, I believe biblical scholars are sometimes helpful to pastors, but usually beyond my interest or understanding. C, I believe biblical scholars are essential when doing my homework as a Christian, striving to know my place and responsibility in God's world. Or D, I believe what about biblical scholars? Question number four. To me, the Old Testament is interesting, but not essential for me as a Christian. B, I believe the Old Testament is as much a part of my spiritual roots as the New Testament. C, I believe the Old Testament is read through the eyes of the New Testament, since Christ was there from the beginning. Or D, I believe the Old Testament is what? Question number five. The Bible, A, represents the objective account of God and human history. Question number five. I believe the Bible presents the objective account of God and human history. B, the Bible combines stories, poetry, and oral history subjectively rather than giving an objective picture. C, the Bible contains many people's experiences that a modern person, such as myself, has trouble believing. Or D, the Bible, what? Question number six. I believe the Bible, A, cannot be understood by secular study methods since it comes directly from God. B, I believe the Bible is better interpreted by critical study methods used to interpret other kinds of literature. C, I believe the Bible gives me its deepest understanding when the meaning behind the words, rather than the words themselves, connect with my life. Or D, I believe the Bible to be what? Now let's look at what the Bible says about itself. Turn with me in your Bible, and I hope you have one right there with you. If you don't have a Bible, Write me. We'll see if we can't get you a translation that would be helpful for you to use. We're turning to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're turning to verse 21. For the prophecy, or the word of God, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's look in Hebrews. Hebrews, back just a few books. We're going to chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's look at another translation. That seems a little foggy. Let's see what the New American Standard says in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is a living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now let's look at 2 Timothy. If you can find the T's, you find all the T's together. So if you find Thessalonians or Titus, you're close to Timothy, right in between. 2 Timothy, right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Well, at the least, the Bible is a pretty good self-help book. Have you ever known anyone who's bought a self-help book to help them raise their children better, or to improve their financial position, or to get along better in their work relationships? Well, they probably spent a lot of money on self-help books. Well, the Bible has that in it and much more. Matter of fact, if you want to have some help for finances, you can look into the book of Deuteronomy, into the book of Psalms, Proverbs, and even the gospel talks about finances and improving your situation in financial ways. If you want to learn about true love, how to get it, how to give it, then you want to look into the Song of Songs, into Isaiah, into 1 Corinthians, and into the book, first book that Peter wrote. If you're interested in raising children to be good people, then look into Ecclesiastes, into Jeremiah and Micah, and both books of Timothy. They all have good suggestions about raising children. I can't even imagine what it would be like not to be able to know where to find Ecclesiastes, but I know somebody is saying that right now. Where's the Elastic book? No, the Ecclesiastes book. All of the books in the Bible are easy to find. They're really easy to find if you go right to the table of contents. Should be the first few pages. You may want to read about the translation you're reading. Find out how they came to make that translation, who was involved, and why they thought it was important to make another translation. See how close it is to find the books of the Bible. This is the Old Testament list here. It gives you the page numbers. This one happens to go in chronological order. Sometimes they have lists that go in alphabetical order. In case you're studying and someone says to look for the book of Ecclesiastes, instead of having to read down through all of these to find Ecclesiastes, you could look alphabetically. Let's see what this has. No alphabetical listing. The next one happens to be the books of the New Testament in chronological order. But again, if you're buying a Bible for the first time, you might want to think about the alphabetical listing. So the table of contents is a good place to put your bookmark. You can always turn there while other people are fumbling around. Another good thing in a Bible would be if you want to find specific things about raising children or about finances or about true love, would be to look in the back of the Bible and see if it has a concordance. Now, this Bible has maps. Some Bibles have black and white maps. These are colored maps, and they're of different times during the Bible stories, different times during the generations, starting in the early days and going all the way through the time of Christ and into the time of the Apostle Paul and the disciples. This does have a concordance. This is what a concordance looks like. It's topics, different topics that you might want to look up. If you wanted to look up love, you would go in alphabetical order to L, and this is a large one, so it has quite a few pages for each one. And love should be right here. If they have a listing for love, we have love. Now, under love are several inches of listings. You can begin looking at love in Exodus, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Proverbs. This lists all the love references that they chose to put in here, along with a little part of the verse. So in Leviticus 19:18, it says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But it doesn't spell out love, it just puts an L there. So that helps you get around a concordance a little better. Under the heading of love, L stands for love. If you're reading about lust, then when you're reading and it says, looks on a woman to L for her, it doesn't mean love, it means lust. Looks on a woman to lust for her. So that helps you around the concordance a little bit better. There are other assistants with the Bible to help you find those books. This is a Bible that has ready-made in it little tabs with letters. If your Bible doesn't have tabs, you can buy them and put them on the beginning of each of the pages. This uses the abbreviations at the beginning. So for Genesis, it says G-E-N. Exodus has an E-X on it. In your Bible, you should have a listing of the abbreviations that your Bible uses for the Bible book names. Sometimes people can get confused if they think they're looking for 1 Corinthians and they find 1 Chronicles. The words are going to be very different. It might be confusing for the study. So check your abbreviations. There are others that are interesting to find. Let's have a basic review. The Holy Bible used by most Christians is divided in two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes there's a third section, often placed in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that's additional books that were added later called the Apocrypha. But for the most part, most Christian Bibles will just have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in those two sections They have subsections, or we call them books, the books of the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are five major sections we're going to talk about today. In the Old Testament, there are five major sections. The first section is the first five books. That section is called the Pentateuch, or the Law, or the books of Moses. The second section in the Old Testament, or the Old Canon, contains 12 books of the history of God's chosen people, as led by Joshua, their prophets, judges, and kings, through the time of the kings of the Hebrews, when the nations were defeated and the northern and the southern tribes were taken into captivity into foreign lands and away from Israel. The song or lyric books were used for private or public worship. There are five of those well-known ones. The fourth section contains five major prophecy books foretelling the future of the Hebrew nation by their authors and bearing their authors' names. The fifth section of the Old Testament, or the Hebrew canon, contains the 12 minor prophecy books, which also foretold the future by their authors, and the books bear their names also. The three major sections of the New Testament include, number one, the four Gospels and the book of Acts. These are the things that Jesus did and the early church participated in. The second section of the New Testament contains the 21 epistles or letters written to individuals or church groups about how to live life to its fullest as disciples of Christ. The last section contains just one book, the prophecy book of Revelation, which gives us a picture of what will happen at the end of time. Just what kind of book is the Bible? With each Scripture School session, we'll be unveiling more and more of the nature of the Scriptures in the Bible. For today, let's review what the Bible says about itself. For the prophecy, or the Word of God, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. For the Word of God is full of living power, and is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. The Bible is a self-help condensed library filled with books about men and women who triumphed over their circumstances and found strength and joy to meet every challenge of life, and even some who reached out in faith and prayer until their requests touched the heart of God. Let's close Scripture School Session 1 with a prayer from the Bible. It comes from Timothy, 1 Timothy, Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. God, first of all, we pray for all people. We make our requests, pleading for God's mercy upon them, and we give thanks for them to you, God. We pray for kings and presidents and all others who are in authority so that we can live in peace and quietness in godliness and dignity. We thank you, God, that you help them make decisions for us and our country and our world that lead to peace, goodness, understanding, and truth. Our prayer is one for peace and wisdom, free from anger and controversy. We pray that all our leaders would pursue and find peace and wisdom, also for all others in authority in our life, our spiritual leaders, those who lead us in our professions and jobs, those who lead us in our homes and communities. May God bless them and us also with a hunger and thirst for peace and wisdom, and may we all be filled with the peace and wisdom of God. Amen. I look forward to meeting with you again at our next session when we look into the question, how much of the Bible can we trust and use for living today?